grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scopes of my transgressions, greater for than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to those defiled, by its transforming power, making a God's dear child, purchasing peace in heaven, for eternity. Grace for even me, broader than the scopes of my transgressions, greater than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name.
Old times the day seems old, our trials on to
came to pay the Lord.
Christ came to fill the mold. Majesty came to praise His holy name. I just came to thank the Lord. I just came to love the Lord. I just came to love the Lord. I just came to praise His holy name.
Hope you did come to praise the Lord and thank the Lord and love the Lord because He loves you. And we've got a good group here this morning. Want to welcome all of our visitors. Man, we have a lot of new faces here this morning, and we're certainly glad you chose Bible Baptist. I know one of our fellows maybe came by and gave you a visitor's packet. We appreciate you. And in that packet, there's a little business card, tells our service times, gives us the phone number to how to get a hold of me, and we'll help you any way we can, make you help you learn more about our church along the way. And then if you would fill out the card that's in that packet and drop it in our offering plate on the way out, we'd appreciate that. That helps us out. We're adding to the church just a little at a time. We got a brand new baby, Aaron and Story. Little Shepherd Lee was born. And so we finally got another boy. I tell you what, we're like 12 to 1 now. Anyway, we're building on the boy crop. We are going to have a wonderful youth group about 12, 13 years from now, because the boys are going to come here because there's lots of pretty girls. But we're proud of all the babies. We're so blessed, and congratulations to Aaron and Story and Mike and Cherry, the grandparents, and we're certainly proud of them. So we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll get right to the singing again, okay? All right, good deal. Ray Griggs, will you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Amen. Thank you. May be seated. This time, the choir has a special.
Oh,
so grateful that you came to this world some 2,000 years ago to go to an old rugged cross, pay for my sins and the sins of the whole world. God, our desire today is if there's one that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, God, I pray that you would draw them unto you today. There's no greater joy in all of life to know that your sins have been forgiven, that you're a child of the King, and that heaven is your home. God, we thank you for our pastor and for all the things that he does for our church. And God, you've put a message upon his heart just for this hour and just for us. And God, I pray that as he stands and opens the word of God and preaches to us in just a few moments, that you'd anoint him with your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you'd give him power today. And God, I pray for those that are here today and life has been difficult. God, I pray that you would comfort them. I pray that you'd encourage them. God, we love you. And Lord, we pray that all the things that we could do today would be honoring and pleasing unto you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the wisdom men, you reign before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you were.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful, God, that we can come before you today and we can call upon your name and we can know that you're our Father. We can know that you hear our prayers and that you're concerned about what we're concerned about, and you know the details of our life and you can help us work through those. I'm so grateful, God, for a church family. I'm grateful that we can gather here and rally around your word, Lord, and have good fellowship and sing these praises to your name. Lord, as we sing in that last song, the blood of Jesus, Lord, we know that it was shed for us. One-time sacrifice that would take away the sins of the world. We praise you for the fact that you didn't make it complicated. You don't have a deal where we have to jump through hoops. We have to put our faith in your Son, Jesus. We have to trust him. So simple. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll help us, Lord, as we follow you and we try to live our lives according to your will, live our lives in a way that a child of God should, that you'd be proud of, that you'll just give us direction, Lord. We all fall short. We're in so need of your power and your Holy Spirit's guidance in our life. Lord, we look to the Word of God this morning. I pray that you'll teach us. We thank you for the young people in the back. We're so grateful for every child. Thank you for the visitors you've brought to us this morning, just a host of them this morning. We pray that you'll bless them. And Lord, perhaps they found their home here. I pray that you'd show them that. And God, for those who are hurting, those who are in need, we pray, God, that you'll meet their needs today, that you'll show them your presence, extend your grace to them, and your comfort. Lord, there's so many things we could pray about. If we started thanking you today, we could pray on into the night. If we started praising you, there'd be no end. But God, we don't have time. We're going to get into your word, so we ask, God, your blessings on it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you'll turn in your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Last week we were in the book of Colossians chapter 3, and we learned that in God's kingdom, the playing field is level. There's no room for divisions. Jesus removed all the social, religious, economic, racial, national barriers. The Bible tells us in that same chapter in verse 11 that Christ is all and in all. He's everything, okay? Though when we come to him with great diversity, all kinds of backgrounds and skin colors and economic situations and social classes and ages and even nationalities, there's a lot of diversity when we come to him, but in Christ there are no class distinctions. We're all equal. So though the world is going to build walls, we see them all the time, walls between groups of people, Jesus has tore down those walls for you and I. So with that understand, I hope that each one of us have allowed that to be the case in our lives on a practical basis, because the kingdom, as kingdom people, we should live this way. You and I should not have a hang up with somebody just because they're a little bit different than us. We look around this room, as I mentioned to you in closing last week, look at the diversity in this room. Look at the blessings of all the different things and people and walks of life that we have here, and we should rejoice over that and make sure that we keep it that way. There's no excuse for you and I to have barriers between us and others, okay? Christ is all in all. So with that, we're going to, with that reminder, we're going to read one verse, first part of verse 27 in Matthew chapter 11. And it just simply says this, all things, these words are in red, by the way, meaning Jesus is the one speaking. And he says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Jesus says, everything's been given to me by the Father. We've already seen that Jesus can level the playing field, and he's done that. And this verse tells us that he can do anything else that he wants to do. He's been given power over all things. From a human standpoint, that's really good news. Why? Because there's a lot of things I can't do. There's a lot of things you can't do. There's a lot of things in life that we have trouble with. There are situations and events and hardships and trials and otherwise that I'm not able to overcome on my own. So it's very nice to know that Jesus is the one that's backing me and he has the power to deal with all of those things. It's kind of like being on the playground as a kid and having the toughest kid in school as your best friend. You know, it's always nice. You know, the playground get pretty tough. And it's always nice to know you got that backup. Jesus is our backup. And when we were growing up, I know I've told you this before, but my brother Jack, he's a year and a half older than me. Many of you know him. And when we were young, Jack was extremely tough when it came to playground fights, fist fighting. And I know there's no virtue in that sort of thing, but it does come in handy when someone brings it to you, okay? And so he was a natural. Have no idea. Nobody ever taught him how to use his fist. He was just a natural. He could box your ears off. And so he had my back. He was my big brother. It was nice to know that he had my back, because if someone beat me up, then Jack was going to beat them up. And really what it boiled down to is I got in a fist fight and came in third place. But that's not a perfect analogy, but you get the idea. Jesus has our back. And he is the so to speak, the toughest one on the playground. Nobody's even close. He can do anything he wants. All power in heaven and earth has been afforded him, according to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. So as a son of God, he has the authority and the sovereignty and the power to do whatever he wills to be done. We see that demonstrated through our New Testament Bibles. When you read the Gospels, you see that when he walked this earth, illness, disease, demons, the heavens, nature, death, all of these things were subject to him. Never did he command one of them that they did not obey. He was constantly, everything listened to his words. And it's the same way today. Nothing has changed. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is just as powerful today as he ever was. So let's read on down the next verse in chapter 11, verse 28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is the most significant invitation that you and I will ever receive, right there. Amen. Jesus invites us to come to him. Let's look at this from the standpoint of salvation. All mankind is invited to come be a part of the family of God through Christ Jesus. God has made a way for us to have a relationship with him, and he's made a way for you and I to have our sins forgiven, where we can know him and he can be our Father. But here's something we have to understand. As kind and as generous and as gracious as that invitation is, the terms of it are not flexible. God has set the terms of that invitation, and he's not going to change it for anyone. He's not going to adjust it in order to accommodate a particular group or a particular individual. But you know what we have a tendency to do as mankind? In some cases, we say, okay, God, I'm coming to you, but here's the way I'm going to do it. I got my own ideals. Here's how I'm going to, I think I'm going to come to you like you've said, but I'm just going to do it a little bit different. You know how foolish that is. The other day, some friends invited us to come and have supper with them. 7 o'clock, Thursday night, at their house. We accepted that invitation. And we had a very nice meal and a great time visiting, and it was an over and all very good night. But what if we had taken upon ourselves to dictate how that invitation was going to be carried out? What if we would have said, hey, we're going to take you up on that invitation, but we're going to arrive at 6 o'clock, and we'd rather not have it at your house. We want to have it at the place of our choosing. And soup and salad are just not going to work for us. You're going to have to fix something else. Well, the truth of the matter is the original invitation is out the window. We did not, our friends did not deny us of that invitation. We denied ourselves of that invitation because we changed it and tried to make it ours. So very foolish. And we as human beings try to do it all the time. The invitation is very clear. He says, come unto me. And he tells us all throughout the Bible how to do that. He says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He says in John 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He says in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And on and on and on, he goes through the scripture of saying how this invitation works. Come unto me, but by my terms, Jesus says. These scriptures that I just gave you, and so many more, tell us the terms of coming to Jesus. But we humans, we're kind of slow. We don't get it. Or maybe we're not so slow, but rather we're just selfish. And we don't like the terms, and so we want to make some terms that are more convenient for ourselves. So some of these terms are kind of go like this. Well, God, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. And I'm going to straighten up, and I'm going to start living right, and come to you like that. And I'm sure you'll like that and accept me. Or I'm going to start going to church and I'm just going to be baptized. It seems like everybody else is doing that. And so I'm going to do that and you'll see my efforts, God, and I guess you'll accept me then. Or we say, oh, I'm just going to go to classes and I'm going to start learning my Bible. I'm going to get to a little more knowledge about God and then I'm going to be confirmed and they're going to know that I can answer all the questions and that I've passed the test. And so I'll be coming to you like that. Or we may say, you know what, I was baptized or christened or handy wiped or something as a kid, and so I was raised in church, so God, I've already come to you. I'm already a child of God because of all of that. Man can come up with all kinds of ways to adjust that invitation to suit their fancy, and the fact is, by doing so, we're actually denying the invitation. By not accepting God's terms, we have in effect said, no, God, I think I'll pass. Thanks, but no thanks. And friends, that's so very foolish. Jesus says, come unto me. There is but one way to do that, and it's the scriptural way. Realizing we're a sinner, knowing that God has made a way for those sins to be forgiven. How did he make that way? He gave his son to die upon the cross of Calvary in our place. And we act when we realize that and we recognize we're sinners, he's taken our place on the cross, we act upon that realization by calling upon him to be our Lord and Savior. Again, the Bible says in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what being born again is all about. Nothing can be added, nothing can be taken away. Those are the terms according to the Bible. Should we be baptized? Absolutely. Baptism is a very biblical thing, and it tells the world that we're believing the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells the world that we're now Christians, okay? Baptism is not the source of salvation. That water doesn't have any more redeeming qualities than any other water. That water in that baptistry can wash away dirt, but it cannot wash away sins. Only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can remove the sins from our life. And over and over and over, when you read the book of Acts, which is the Acts of the Apostles, Acts of the early church, just telling us how it all began to play out, and it's the example for us to follow, what you saw there was people believed every time. People believed, and then they were baptized. Believe is just an expression of faith, okay? I see what has been done for me, and I see that I'm a sinner, and so I'm going to take advantage of this, God, and I am going to reach out and receive. I'm going to ask the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, would you come be my Lord? Would you be my Savior? And friends, that's what it means to be born again. And let me just give you another analogy that I have used many times in private talking with people. It's kind of like a birth announcement. Now, we've had babies go around here coming left and right, and there's always, you know, we spread the word. Little shepherd is here, and Dixie is here, and it's a birth announcement, okay? Well, kind of baptism is very similar in the sense that we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're baptized, and it's kind of like a new birth announcement. We're born again. By the blood of Christ, we believe in the death and burial when you go under the water, and the resurrection when you come out of the water. That's what baptism is a picture of. Here's another part of the equation that I think we need to look at very closely. Jesus says, come unto me. We must come to him for salvation. But that's not the only way we should come to him. That's not the only thing that we should come to him for. Look at verse 28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor. I want you to notice, he's identifying a particular group of people in this text that you and I really should be a part of. All ye that labor. I've told you this before. It's probably the hardest area of my life as far as harshness goes, but I don't have much patience for lazy. My whole family, the Downers, we just don't do lazy very well. I have a terrible time with somebody who won't get off their can and do something, okay? But this text is not a reference to physical labor, but more so it's describing those who are laboring in life. You know, you and I should be striving to be the best Christians we can with our life. That should be our efforts. That should be our desire for the glory of God. And when we do that, you know what? It's work. It's work. It's the best way to describe it. It's work. The Bible says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. 1 Corinthians 3:13 says, every man's work shall be manifest. Galatians chapter 6 says, but let every man prove his own work. Colossians 1:10 says, being fruitful in every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5 says, do the work of an evangelist. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 17 says, the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to everyone's work. And in Revelation, finally, in chapter 22, Jesus says this emphatically. He says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Nothing describes serving the Lord any better than it's just a work. It describes it very well. Service to the Lord is work. Do you pray? You're working for the Lord. Prayer is work. Do you talk to God in prayer? Do you listen to God by reading your Bible and letting him speak? That's work. Do you get to the house of God on Sunday morning? I'm telling you, I know, especially you guys that have these little kids and everything. It's work to get up and get up here. You have to apply yourself to do those sort of things. It's work to talk yourself into it sometimes when you're tired and you put in a long week and this is the only day off. It's work to get to the house of God and worship. But you do it because you're responsible children of God. Do you witness? Do you invite? Do you testify? Those are all things that are work. Here's one that's really work. Do you give? your tithes and your mission giving and giving of yourself in service to others and doing without certain things for yourself so the needs of others can be met. That's work. So don't ever worry about overworking yourself for the Lord, because Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. You just go do the work and come to me and I'll give you the rest that you need. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says this, let us not grow weary in well-doing. He's saying, don't let your service overwhelm you. Don't get discouraged. Why? The latter part of that verse says, because in due season you shall reap. What's that saying? It says, it's all going to pay off. Your work is going to pay off every time. He says, you're going to reap. Reaping is simply, in for our younger people especially, a biblical term just talking about harvesting. Here in West Texas, we look around right now in the South Plains, and there's farmers that are stripping cotton. They're harvesting. What brought about that harvest that they're getting right now? Where'd that cotton come from? Well, it came from a lot of work. It came from a year's worth of labor, plowing and planting and irrigating and spraying and whatever else needs to be done. And they've done that work, and now they're receiving the rewards of that work. I know the price is not good, but it seems that perhaps it's a pretty good crop as far as yield goes. It doesn't matter. It's a harvest. It's the fruits of our work. Folks, our work in the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be rewarded. Most of it in eternity, but even some of it right here. Maybe you're not seeing the fruit right now. Sometimes it's down the rows away, a ways before it becomes apparent to us. I'll tell you what, I look at the years and y'all saw us in all of our family years with all the kids were at home. I look at all those years of a young parent and all the work that was involved. And now that I'm in my 50s and my wife is in my 50s and we're enjoying a lot of fruits from that. Not the least of which is having kids out of the house. The fruit of our works as parents and the grandbabies, it's the fruit. The financial stability, it's the fruit. It's no different in our spiritual lives. So we labor hard and find our rest in Jesus. And I notice another thing that you and I may experience. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Heavy laden, just simply a King James term for being heavily burdened. Life can weigh us down at times. There's financial burdens. There's work-related burdens, having maybe something in our job, a wayward child, a sick or diseased family member or loved one, a broken heart over divorce or the loss of a loved one. While I was preparing this message, three ladies came to mind that are in this congregation that all three lost their husband suddenly, and them being at a relatively young age. That hurts. They're weary. They lost the love of their life. And many more have gone through that. Maybe at a different... These were just the three that came to my mind. Some deal and battle with depression or anxiety or both. That's real. That's a burden. It weighs heavy upon you. From my own experience, there's no greater burden in the world than to go through a bout of depression. But here's a burden that you might not think about when you look at this verse. It's the burden of sin. And I'm not referring to it, as we talked about it a few moments ago, before we come to Christ, okay? That's a big burden of sin. But I'm talking about the burden of having sin in our life after we're a child of God. I'll be the first to admit, folks, we still sin. I still sin. We still struggle with temptation. In many cases, there's things in our life that perhaps addiction or other things that are part of the equation that we just struggle with. It weighs heavy upon us. It can be burdensome. And why is it so burdensome when we're a child of God? And we know we're saved. We know we're a child of God. We know we're going to heaven. But why is that sin so burdensome? For us now, because we're not right with God when we have it in our life. And there's going to be a certain amount of guilt and conviction that comes upon us. That weighs heavy upon us. Why? Because God says, no, 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 no. You're my child. That kind of behavior is not going to work. You got to get that fixed. Just like you'll correct your child, God will correct his children. And that burden, that heaviness of that sin, will weigh upon us until we take care of it. Till we come to Jesus and say, I'm sorry, and confess those sins. Folks, we live in apologize this morning. We live in an age of easy believism. There's a mindset today, and has been for some time. Well, I'm a child of God. I'm going to heaven. So I can just do what I want. Saved by grace, right? With no consideration to holiness. No understanding of what sanctification is or consecration. And so the result of that... Thank you, Jeff. Not near strong enough, but... The result of that is a defeated Christian life. Let me tell you a quick Old Testament story, and I'm winding down, and I'll have you out of here. It's found in Joshua chapter 7, and children of Israel have just entered into the promised land, that wonderful land, that long-awaited promise that God had given to them. They finally crossed over, and they're there, and they've conquered Jericho. Man, God bless, and they went in there, and they just took care of Jericho. First city they came to, and a lot more ahead. They came to the second city, which is Ai. And when they entered into the city, the inhabitants of Ai beat the sap out of them. I mean, sent them running. And the loss that they experienced was so devastating. They couldn't understand why they had lost the blessings of God. They couldn't understand why the hand of God had been removed from them to let them be defeated by these people in Ai. So they were frustrated. And they were scared because they knew more battles to come. And they were discouraged. But God did what he always does. He wanted to make them aware of what the problem is. God doesn't just leave us hanging. He doesn't want us to say, you figure it out, and then when you do, come talk to me. That's not the way it is. He wants to show us what's wrong in our life. Amen. He doesn't want us to be blind to the problem. He didn't want them to be blind to the problem. He told them, there's sin in the camp. Without going into great detail about how that all came about, it's a good story. Read it, Joshua 7. But the bottom line, there was sin in their camp, and because of that sin had not been taken care of, he removed his hand of blessing. So when they went into Ai, they didn't have God with them. His hand of blessing was not upon them. And here's what God says. After the fight with Ai and all of it, they were discouraged. He says this in chapter 12. He says, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because... they were accursed. He says, neither will I be with you anymore except you destroy the accursed thing among you. He says, up, sanctify the people. In other words, clean them up. Get this sin taken care of and say to them, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, this is a cursed thing in the midst of you. And so Israel, thou canst stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing. I mean, it's very clear what God is in simple terms. And there again is some fancy King James English there. But in simple terms, God says, as long as you have this in your life, I can't put my hand of blessing. I can't back you up. It's not that God was forsaking them. They were still his children. He still loved them. But he just could not bless them and give them the victories that they wanted because of the sin. It's no different in our life. Jesus says, come to me. So when there's sin in our life, we come to him with confession. And I want you to notice this last phrase in verse 28. He says, I'll give you rest. What a promise. You know, a promise from Jesus is a promise kept. He says, I'll give you rest. I'll help you cope. When you can't take another step, I'll carry you. When you fall, I will lift you up. When you call to me, I'll answer you. When you're lonely, I'll be your companion. When you're hurting, I'll be your comfort. He says, come to me. And most important of all is what we talked about a few minutes ago. If you're lost, I'll save you, he says. Notice early in that verse, he says, come unto me, all ye. Two words there, all inclusive. We talked about diversity earlier. Jesus is very diverse in this problem. He says, come to me, young or old, rich or poor, woman or man, black or white. In any other category we might think of to put into there, he says, all ye that labor, all ye that are heavy laden. And David, you guys can come. Is that you this morning? First of all, have you come to Jesus for salvation? That's the most important thing. Folks, we can't pass that up. We can't bypass that and then go on about this other stuff and have any success at all. You have to know Jesus, okay? It says, come unto me for salvation. Once you know Jesus, are you one that's working for the Lord? Are you heavy laden? Are you carrying burdens in your life that are so hard for you to handle? Let me remind you what Jesus said. He says, all things were delivered unto me by my Father. He says, I've got the power. I've got the wherewithal. I've got the sovereignty. I can take care of it. Just come unto me with it. I'm going to ask you to stand, folks. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, your burden this morning, you're laboring this morning for the Lord and you're tired, well, come unto him. Come bow at this altar. He's going to give you rest. Bow right there where you're sitting and say, Jesus, I'm coming to you. I need rest. I need you to carry this burden for me, whatever it may be. And it's a promise that will be kept. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God's spoken to you about anything, you come.
Just come.